This happens to be the first known case of HPAI in a dairy cattle in the state of Nebraska. The herd located in the central part of the state has been quarantined. Chris Bousquet is executive director of the Nebraska State Dairy Association. He talks first about the dairy herd.
It means that the next couple weeks is going to be a pretty rough situation for the dairy producer as well as the dairy cattle on the site. So typically what happens when a herd gets hit with bird flu is you'll start seeing a rapid drop off in milk production. And we're talking, you know, a cow that was giving 100 pounds of milk on Monday is now giving 2 pounds of milk on Tuesday. And it is a very rapid drop off. The thing with fortunate and unfortunate at the same time, avian influenza or H5N1 in dairy cattle is a high morbidity situation. So it'll run through a certain subset of animals in the herd. And then over time, you know, those animals will eventually come back into production. Some of the farmers may decide to dry those animals off and wait until next lactation to see how they perform. But for the most part, you don't lose very many cattle, which is a really good thing. It's just a very intense virus that comes and hits a herd. And, you know, a couple months later, it'll be gone. So very intense care initially for the dairy farmers and the herdsmen. But eventually it'll start working its way out of the herd and things will go back to normal.
So how does a dairy cow get exposed?
Well, mechanical transmission is how this disease spreads. I think when you look at the cattle movements that we see across the United States, it's a big reason why the Department of Agriculture implemented a permit program to track movements of livestock. It's also a big reason why the USDA required a bird flu test prior to movement. And I think that's the situation where we're in is, unfortunately, we transferred some animals from California into Nebraska. And at the time that they were tested, they were negative. And so within that 7-day time frame of how basically they're allowed to ship those animals within 7 days of a negative test, somewhere in that 7-day time frame, they contracted the illness and brought it back to Nebraska. And so this strain specifically was sequenced and matched the genetic makeup of the California strain. And so it just proves scientifically, it proves where we got it from. And unfortunately, that was the case.
So we know that this herd has been quarantined. What about the milk that's being produced at this farm?
Yeah, the milk, you know, I think something that's helpful for consumers to recognize is that if a farmer identifies that an animal is sick, that milk does not go into the tank. And we have also proven that pasteurization kills the virus. And it completely denatures the virus. And so we are, as a consumer, do not be afraid of consuming milk products, because pasteurization does what pasteurization has always done. It's killed the viruses that are, or bacteria, the bad bacteria that is occurring in milk and can be found in milk that could cause foodborne illness problems. And you know, the USDA and the FDA has come out and said and reaffirmed a couple different times that pasteurization and the science that they have done is effective. And so, you know, fortunately for that producer, the animals that are still healthy and virus free, he'll be able to continue shipping that milk to market. And pasteurization works. And I'm comforted in that. And I would have no problem consuming that milk.
Very well put. And of course, you guys shared yesterday some great resources that are available for our dairy producers. They can just go to our website, AmericanAgNetwork.com, and then just click on the options and the information that's there for them. And again, it comes down to, Chris, biosecurity. And like you said, testing animals, and you guys caught it, it's quarantined, and now you just got to let it run through its process.
Yeah, you know, biosecurity is key, and you know, hats off to the Department of Ag and APHIS right now. They're working really hard to make sure that this virus is contained to this one site. And you know, the milk truck drivers are wearing booties. They're disinfecting their tires, and all cattle movements are stopping at this facility until they are tested negative in a bulk tank sample. And so it is, we've got the situation under control, and I'm comforted in the fact that, you know, we're taking good biosecurity practices. But, you know, when the illness originally reared its head about a year ago, we worked in collaboration with the University of Nebraska Extension and their biosecurity team to formulate some common sense biosecurity practices. And we also pre-positioned PPE through multiple locations across the state in case there was ever an outbreak. And so we worked with Extension, and you can go to the Gage County Extension Office, the Hall County Extension Office, as well as the Madison County Extension Office in Norfolk to get PPE if you're directly working with livestock, and also as a way to protect your employees. You know, if there's an employee that may, you know, want to add an extra layer of protection, even though they don't have the virus or there's no incidence of virus, you know, that personal protective equipment is available free of charge. And so we're fortunate enough to thank CS Cash, which is an organization out of the University of Nebraska Medical Center. Director Matt Noneman was extremely supportive and helpful with that. And you know, the University of Nebraska Lincoln, if you go to Big Red Biosecurity, I believe it's .edu, then that information is on their website as far as common sense biosecurity practices for face masks, eye protection, you know, gowns, you name it. That information's on there, and all that PPE is available free of charge for producers.
Yep, that address again is bigredbiosecurity.unl.edu. It's great to have that resource available, Chris.
Yeah, we're extremely fortunate and happy of our partnership with the University of Nebraska and Nebraska Extension. And, you know, it's situations like this where you have to lean on each other and to get through the situation, and are very fortunate to have them as a resource.
Anything else you'd like to add?
You know, I think Nebraska as a dairy community is very prepared. You know, this virus has been going around for, you know, well over a year now. And so we've learned a lot from our neighbors that have had this virus. Nebraska was actually one of the only states in the Midwest that hadn't contracted the virus up until, you know, earlier this week or late last week. And so we've got a lot of advice and learnings from our counterparts. And, you know, I think this will be, you know, unfortunate for the producer, but I think we'll weather this storm, and our industry will continue to learn and get better.
And that's my conversation with Chris Bousquet. He is the executive director of the Nebraska State Dairy Association. I'm Susan Littlefield reporting.